flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Mayor. Board of Commissioners, public meeting, Tuesday, May 7, 2019. The time is now 8:25. Pursuant to the requirements of the Open Public Meeting Act, Chapter 231, Public Law 1975, notice of this meeting was published in the November 29, 2018 issues of the Nutley Sun, the Herald News, and Star Ledger. A copy of this notice has been posted on the Nutley Town Hall Bulletin Board, and a copy is on file in the Municipal Clerk's Office. Commissioner Rogers is absent. Excused. Commissioner Tucci.
Here.
Commissioner Evans.
Here.
Commissioner Petracco.
Here.
Mayor Scarpelli.
Here.
All present, Mayor, except for Commissioner Rogers. He's absent. Excused this evening.
Minutes, Madam Clerk.
We have regular Board of Commissioner meeting minutes for April 2nd, 2019. I need a motion, please.
Move it.
Second.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Scarpelli?
Aye.
We have executive session minutes for January 15, 2019, February 19, 2019, February 5, 2019, March 5, 2019, March 19, and 2019. Need a motion?
Move it.
Second.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Scarpelli?
Aye.
And that's it for minutes, Mayor.
Communications.
Thank you. The Nutley Education Foundation has submitted an application for a social fair permit to hold showcase awards for the school districts. The event is to be held on Monday, May 20th, 2019, at the Nutley Museum located at 65 Church Street. Between the hours of 6:30 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. Need a motion?
Move it.
Second.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Scarpelli?
Aye.
And that's it for communications, Mayor.
Reports, Commissioner Tucci.
Yes, Mayor. I have a shade tree report for the month of April.
Bills, Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Mayor. Bill list for May 7, 2019. Public Affairs, $96,739.45. Revenue and Finance, $7,335,461.34. Public Safety, $37,092.49. Public Works, $94,296.54. Parks and Public Property, $646,966.18. Water Utility, $126,643.08. Total payroll, $804,438.40, for a grand total of $9,141,637.48.
Move the bills.
Second.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Scarpelli?
Aye.
And that's it for bills.
I just want to, before we get to the public comment, I just want to apologize to everybody for our late start. We needed counsel in the back due to a couple of the items on our agenda tonight, and we do apologize for starting late. Madam Clerk, public
yes,
comment.
Mayor. All persons addressing the Board of Commissioners regarding community concerns should approach the microphone and provide their name and address for the record. Unless further time is granted by the board, each person shall limit their address to 3 minutes. All remarks to the board and its individual members must be addressed to the mayor. The mayor may defer citizens' comments to the appropriate member of the board. Dialogue between citizens and others addressing the board shall be allowed unless the mayor or presiding officer or the majority of the membership of the board shall determine that the interests of decorum and or the expeditious conduct of municipal business are being adversely affected by such dialogue.
Rory Moore, 462 Chestnut Street.
Agenda items only, Mr. Moore.
I know.
Okay.
I have 4 questions. 2 on the bill list and 2 on the agenda. On the first page of the bill list is under public revenue and financing. Rutgers University, I think it was $350. What is that for?
It's a, I don't remember off the top of my head, but it is a training course. It's a training course. I don't remember off the top of my head what it's for.
I'll offer it then. And on the second page, There's Rutgers University, it's under public safety for $809. What is that for?
I'll have to get back to you on that one, Mr. Moore.
Okay. I have the resolution for your change order this evening, Mr. Evans. What's the change order for? This is the fourth change order according to this resolution. And all that is you're just keeping increasing money. The original, I guess the contract was going to be for $10,000. It's now up to $25,000. What are the changes for?
Which resolution are you referring to?
We have a resolution tonight, 122-19.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading that correctly. It's a change order number four, $4,050, I believe.
Yes.
What's it for?
The part of that is for the legal services that we're involved with, the MECA matter.
I understand it's legal services through a firm. But I guess I'm curious why you have four change orders, all increasing money. Are we buying services? We bring more lawyers in. Usually when you put a change order, you say the change order is four.
I appreciate that. I do too.
And I'd like to know.
No, it's not more attorneys. It's for continuing work of the same attorney related to the settlement matter that we already discussed, which we've already acknowledged that those fees are 100% reimbursable. So we're just basically processing what I believe is the final bill.
I believe it's the final, but we're not sure yet. And under the ordinance 3420, I guess this is yours, Mr. Scarpelli. Where can I actually see the plans for this? I mean, you have a lot of rare boards, a lot of boilerplate in here. But I'd like to know, can I see the plans for this?
Not at this time, Mr. Moore.
Is that secret, or?
That plan is going to be on file with the clerk's office as required. So it will be on file tomorrow morning. The proposed plan. It may not be one that's passed, but it's the proposed plan.
At least you can look at a plan.
Yeah, it'll be, the mayor's confusing it with something else. This is going to be on file.
Okay, great, thank you.
Mr. Moore, just to answer your question about my bill item, that was for a lieutenant to go to traffic safety school. Traffic safety, yes.
Anybody else wish to address the Board of Commissioners on agenda items only? Seeing none, move to Board of Commissioner announcements.
I have two. One is just to note that the clerk's office will remain open until 9 p.m. On Tuesday, May 14th, if I'm reading that correct, Eleni, is that correct, the 14th?
Yes.
All right, so they're open until 9 p.m. for purposes of voter registration. So the office will be open late on May 14th until 9 p.m. for that purpose. And I also just want to acknowledge and congratulate Hackensack Meridian Network and their John Thor Clinic for receiving National Cancer Society recognition as a National Comprehensive Cancer Center. There's only 40 centers across the United States that have that designation, so I just want to offer congratulations on behalf of the board.
Thank you, Commissioner. Any other announcements?
Thank you. I do have a very, very pleasant announcement for a change. I just like to congratulate another Nutley student, another Nutley person for getting into the Hackensack Seton Hall Medical School. That'll be Nikki Cazzarelli, who played all kinds of sports and went all through the Nutley school system. So I just would like to extend to him and his family the biggest congratulations, and it's really refreshing to see that some of these Nutley kids are getting a good look over there. So congratulations to Nikki.
Congratulations to Nick. Commissioner?
Yes, thank you. On this past Saturday, we held our 40th annual fishing contest at the Mud Hole. All right, that was initiated by Nick Monero, Sr. We had a bunch of youngsters there. We stocked at the Mud Hole with 300 trout. Everyone had a great time, and it's a tradition that we hope to continue for many, many years to come. Then immediately following that, or actually at the same time, a little bit later, we held our Living Memorial Tree Program, and once again this year we planted 29 trees in memory of those loved ones in town, and some folks were out of town who have passed on, and two benches, and it was a wonderful event. I just want to thank everyone who participated in both of those events. And on Sunday, we had a busy weekend, we had our annual May Day celebration for our senior citizens, where we had several hundred of them come to the Parks Department to sing, to dance, to celebrate, and to have a great meal. So it was a great weekend. I just want to thank everyone who came out to participate. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Commissioner. Let's move to public hearings. Commissioner Evans?
Yes, Mayor. Tonight we have a public hearing on two things. We have a public hearing on one is ordinance number 3418, which is an ordinance introduction from a few weeks ago that would allow us to establish our cap bank that we do each year. As I had explained previously, the cap bank doesn't provide us with real cash. It's a memo entry that in the event that there was something extraordinary that happened, we would be able to use it for purposes of budget appropriation. We've never had to use it. The bank itself each year lasts for 2 years and then it expires. So we, as prudent financial planning, we maintain the bank, but we have not had a need to use it so far.
Anybody wish to be heard on ordinance number 3418?
Move to close.
Second.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Mayor Scarpelli.
Aye.
Aye.
Move the ordinance.
Move the ordinance, yes.
Second.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Mayor Scarpelli.
Aye. We'll continue, Commissioner, with the...
Do you want to do the public hearing or do you want to go through the resolutions?
You want to do the presentation at the end or you want to do the presentation
I'm
now?
I'm asking, what do you think we...
Are we going to do the change in the date of the redevelopment amendment first before that's on the agenda before the ordinance?
We'll be doing that.
Mayor, the public hearings, I'm just going by the agenda. I think we should just announce that we're going to have a continue this meeting until Friday on the introduction of Ordinance 3420. Is that correct?
That's correct, Mr. Chantepa.
And just for the record, the ordinance, the public hearing date on the potential ordinance is not June 6th, but May 21st, just so the record reflects that, because I think we just had a typo on the original. Just want the record to be clear. Thank you.
So we'll be continuing the meeting until Friday at 11 o'clock, at which time... we may consider the ordinance number 3420.
Thank you.
Commissioner, I think you should do your presentation, then have a public hearing, and we'll go from there.
That's fine. I just wanted to offer. All right, thank you.
Guys, what just happened here?
All right, I'm going to apologize for my back for everyone. When we introduced the budget, I did a slight short presentation summarizing the changes to the budget, which I have for this evening, as well as a quick refresher. I also have additional information in response to a lot of questions that I get to provide more detail about the composition of our budget and actually what's happened to our budget over the last 5 years. So I'm going to share that tonight before we actually have the public hearing on the budget from the public. So a couple weeks ago, and actually on April 2nd, we introduced the budget, and the budget reflects an increase of 3.86%, an increase of spending of almost $1.6 million. The effect of this is about $175 for the average taxpayer. And at home, that average home is a house assessed at about $320,000. So tonight we're going to be talking about that. I also shared that as part of the budget,
that there were areas where we had cost increases, cost decreases, but in presenting it, I wanted to share what I normally would just provide verbal comments on, we actually laid out so that it is available, and this has been up on the website since April 2nd. So the idea to show you is that we have had salary increases and we have had increases in other expenses, so total spending is up almost $1.3 million. One of the important elements of change was the reduction in the amount of our medical insurance, or the cost of our medical insurance. Commissioner, do you want to comment again on that?
Sure. We had a 37% reduction for retirees because we participate in the New Jersey State Health Benefits Program, and they moved our folks from traditional Medicare to a Medicare Advantage plan. So I believe statewide they saved, I believe the number was $500 million. So the reduction, part of the reduction that you're seeing here this evening, all right, because it was actually a bit more, but we can't make a final determination until we get our final aid number. Yeah. So that's why you're seeing that reduction in medical insurance.
Yeah. The other piece that you see in here is that it shows a reduction in the water deficit. There is an operating deficit in the water utility, which has to be funded in the operating budget. We did that last year. We have to do it this year. We just have to do it by a lower amount. Joe, do you want to comment?
By the time we adopt the budget, hopefully we'll have that water deficit eliminated.
So it's one of the areas that we're looking at, right? So basically you get a sense, it says that it's fully laid out, that we have a significant challenge in obviously managing our costs each year, but as you can see, a $956,000 increase in salary costs with a $300,000 increase in our other expenses for almost $1.3 million. The other element of this is that's on the cost side. There's also the revenue side. So what happens to revenues that come into the town? We do have a reduction in our revenues that it's in this budget, but it's primarily driven by the fact that our state aid, our transitional estate aid, isn't finalized. By law, we can only anticipate 85% of the aid we received the prior year and for introduction to our budget. We have to wait until we negotiate the final number. So this budget reflects a statutory allowable transitional state aid of $3,485,000 versus the 4.1 that we got the previous year. So there's a shortfall in revenue of about $600,000. That's been partially offset by the items that are listed there in terms of our interest earned, other revenues, and grant revenues that we received. When you pull that together, it basically shows that our tax levy is going up from $42,600,000, which represents a 3.86% increase over the prior year. What's important about this is that in order to get to 2%, we have to reduce our budget that's currently introduced before we adopt by $600,000. And it's what's important about that, it's my position that we need to do that, and the commissioners are all aligned on how do we find the money to achieve a 2% increase, so to reduce that. If we were able to do that, we would, on average, we would reduce the tax impact for the average taxpayer by about $75. So we'd go from 175 down to 100 for comparing the increase year over year. Just for completeness, while it's not part of the property tax, I did include the water utility budget, and you'll see that since 2014, the water utility expenses are up about 5%. We do have a shortfall in revenue that's currently under investigation. And the reason for that is DPW services cross over from the property tax side to the water side, but the manpower is all part of one department. So just for completeness purposes, this is not included in your property tax. This is part of your water bill.
Excuse me, Commissioner, if that projected deficit was included as part of the DPW budget, and I know it's funded through a user fee, Do you have an idea as to what that impact would be? Because when I look at going back to your other slide about salaries, and I see that the Parks Department is up $122,009, which is correct, but that was after a $485,000 reduction the year before. And then I look at DPW, which has only increased $35,400. It's not really a clear picture. I understand it's an accounting function and that the water utility is in fact separate, but what would that be? Would that be closer to like 270?
Well, if you take from 18 to 19, if you looked at the increase in the salaries of the water utility,
right,
that increase would be $40,000 more. Okay. If you look at it and say from 2014,
well, should you just be taking into account just the salaries, because we also have to fund the deficit, which we don't have that situation anywhere else.
Well, the deficit is already in there, right? So the $109,000 reduction is actually reflects a $242,000 shortfall. So the $230,000 deficit, that's already included in our operating budget.
So then what would that number be if you coupled the two together?
So if you...
roughly.
So, let's see, 230 plus 40, right? That would be 270. 270 plus the roughly 35 in salaries, right? So you combine the operations as well as the salaries. So you got another $300,000, roughly.
Right, okay.
In total. I understand your question, but from the standpoint of how it affects the taxpayer and from a property tax standpoint, it's separate. But
I totally understand.
Yeah. Reconciling it is always fun, but yes. And that's why I include it is that while I can't put them together,
right,
we can actually show a complete picture.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep, wrong way. All right. So when I presented this on April 2nd, it basically said, hey, we're going to have a public hearing tonight. It's 3.86%. We've got to lose $600,000 because it's unacceptable for us to adopt a budget with the 3.86% increase. And we stopped there the last time. So that's the information that's been presented before. I also included this slide, which is an interesting slide to look at. It just kind of shows you the relationship that says if we're asking in total for the town to provide us with $55 million worth of spending, where does that money go? And how is it allocated? And so this lays out and basically shows that while it's in 2014 we asked for $50 million, in 2019, we're asking for $55 million in change. It's roughly $4.7 million difference. How does that lay out? But what is the cost of those services? And what you can see is if you look at the, without going into all of the specific numbers, right, you basically can see is that there has been an increase in the cost of our police and fire services, and Commissioner Petracco has been open about that, what that cost is, and we've been managing across the other areas. You'll see that the cost of roadways and sewer treatment and street lighting, it's up $700,000 since 2014. Our insurance costs are up another $600,000 since 2014. And then when you get into parks and buildings and recreational areas, as well as electricity, oil, telephone, things that go like that, it's up $200,000. The administrative costs, which includes all of the legal, treasury, the construction office, those types of things, it's down $100,000. The public affairs office, including garbage collection, is down about $100,000. Debt service is flat, and the library, which we fund through the tax base, is increasing about $100,000 since 2014. So it just lays out the history. I share this simply because it's a question that I've been asked many times. How has it changed? What does it cost me? Where's the money go? How is it spent? So in one slide, we try to basically try and present that for the benefit of the taxpayers, for those that have that question. The next phase, which is tonight, right, is to spend a little bit more time helping to better understand what happened to that average taxpayer whose house is assessed at $320,000. I'm going to go through these fairly quickly. They will be all up on the website, and any questions that anyone has, I'm happy to take those questions. But if you look, since 2014, when you look at the municipal school in the county, for that house that's assessed at roughly $320,000, their taxes since 2014 have gone up $1,228, or 11.91%. And that includes everybody. One of the things that's been presented to us is that we only talk about the municipal budget, but what about everything else? So we're trying to be more inclusive about what those costs are. So you can see that increase is comprised of a $541 increase in municipal services since 2014, $665 increase in the school, and the county has been fairly nominal at about $23. And that's a more of a formula versus saving money, because I'll show you in a second that their budget has gone up quite a bit, but our share of it has gone down. So the other thing I'm always getting asked questions on is, how do you calculate my taxes? Where does the tax rate come from? How do you do that? And it's a very simple calculation. You take the total money that we need to spend, which is $55 million, subtract the revenues that we get from our general revenues in the normal course of where we get our money from. You subtract out the additional transitional state aid benefit that we're getting. You get down to a net municipal budget that has to be raised from taxpayers of $42.6 million. So the gross is $55.2 million, the net is $42.6 million. That's simply divided by the township-wide assessed value, and that calculates a rate. That rate is then applied to the assessed value, and you get what the municipal portion of the tax is. So a taxpayer was paying for their municipal tax, that average house was paying $3,629 for all municipal services and the library. Right? Today they're paying $4,170 for those services. There we go. Okay. Technology. I actually included how the school is calculated. I won't go through it fully, but it's the same principle. The gross, less revenues, less their aid, equals the net school budget divided by the assessed value of the town, calculates a tax rate. So that person that has that house for $320,000 is paying $5,600 for school taxes today versus $4,900 in 2014. So there's a $665 increase associated with that. The county is a little bit different. As you can see, the county actual budget has gone up since 2014 by $26.5 million. Because our assessed value since 2014 has actually gone down, but the assessed value of the county went up, our share of the county tax went down. So basically what it shows is that the county tax rate was 55.7 cents in 14, it's 55.8 cents today. So it's a very nominal difference. But it's because it's a function that there's a lot of variables that go into how you calculate the county tax. So bring it beyond those numbers, what's the other things that have been happening in town? We're all very much aware of the fact that the Hoffman LaRoche property closed, that there was a significant write-down of those assets because of that. To help us, we have been very active in getting transitional state aid from the state we started in 2013. Since 2014, we have received as a township $25 million of aid. So without that $25 million, which we negotiated was for the full benefit of the town, so we didn't go for the municipal portion of the tax, we went for the school and the county as well, that's actually saved for 2019, that's saving every taxpayer, that average taxpayer, $342. There has been new development in town, and so that has saved that taxpayer additional $131. So if we didn't have new development, we didn't have the transitional state aid for 2019, the average tax increase would have been $1,700 and roughly $2. But it sits at $1,228. When you look at it since 2014, the combination of the new development and the state aid, that average taxpayer is actually saved over $2,500 in taxes. And if your assessed value is greater than that, you save more. If your assessed value is less than that, you've saved a little bit less. But overall, that's the savings. And that's the first time we actually laid that out. There's other factors that go into it, but I can't go through that for the school and the county. I can talk about it with from the municipal side. And looking at why our taxes, the municipal side, went up, understanding what influences taxes is basically these five things on that individual. Any change in the revenues that we receive, any change in the state-based aid or the transitional aid will affect the revenue component of our calculation. Any change in spending of the five departments will affect it. Any change in the assessed value of the township. So the write-down of Hoffman LaRoche actually has an effect of increasing the tax rate. New development and new ads has the effect of reducing the tax rate because the assessed value changes. If the individual, and in this case we did have an increase because the average went up from of the property went up from $315,320. If you have a change in the assessed value of your property, which is you did an addition, right? So you did a major renovation, it increases the value of your property, you could also get an increase in tax. So there's five components. Four of them are in effect townwide. The last one is the individual. So I just wanted to point out, because this is a question that I get asked all the time. How come the taxes are up, and what causes those taxes to go up? So this is basically just a simple slide. It explains what the drivers. So since 2014, what's happened? Well, we've gotten more revenue. We've gotten more aid. We've had an increase in spending. We've had a decrease in assessed value, and that the average of the residential housing has gone up by $4,500. All of that combined caused the tax rate to rise from $1.15 to $1.31. So it's roughly a 15.4% increase in the tax. And the $66 million is the net effect of writing down the value of the assets at the Hoffman LaRoche property, which has been subject to a lot of demolitions. You can't tax a building that doesn't exist anymore. So that's been driving a lot of that reduction for us. And because of that point, we've been able to go to the state, which has enabled us to get the state aid to help offset and cushion that loss. When you look at this and you say, okay, to honor our budget, the simple fact is increase in revenue saved that average taxpayer $26.76 since 2014. Transitional aid has saved them almost $25 for total savings in revenue of $51. The changes in costs for the municipality have increased total that cost that taxpayer $237. The separation here is these are the direct costs. So each commissioner has the responsibility for their department. So this just reflects the change in those services. The other thing, though, is there are common costs, such as overall pensions, the cost of sewer treatment and garbage collection that we always talk about, the cost of medical care, as well as paying payroll taxes, unemployment insurance, things like that. That's up another $2.3 million where it's costing that taxpayer at $320,000 of assessed value, another $215 since 2014. As we continue, the township-wide assessed value went down by $66 million. The effect of that is costing the average taxpayer about $82 since 2014. The last piece is because the value of the average home went up, right? It doesn't mean that every home has gone up. This basically says if you look at 14 to 19 and your assessed value is exactly the same, this did not affect you. For that house, though, if they look at their assessed value in 2014 and it's increased since 2014, they're going to have a greater share of the tax because under law and under statute, the tax rate is applied to the assessed value of the property. So if it changes up or down, you get greater or a lesser share of the tax that happened for that given year or overall. So when you put them all together, it's a very simple calculation. They say you take the cost that the cost increases, so departmental increases, common cost increases, the effect of a township assessed value minus the additional revenues, and you find that the townwide factor says that the since 2014, that average taxpayer is paying $483 more. Because of a change at an individual property level, they're paying an additional $57, or in total, $540.94. So it gives you, it's been a challenge to say, how do you take all of this information, all of the detail around it, and present it at some level of summary that's understandable? And I hope that this has been laid out with a flow and that it's simple enough to follow. It will be up on the website, as I said, and if anybody has any questions regarding it, I'm very very much available to address them. So the last thing is just in summary that basically says taxes are on the municipal side are up about $245 a year. Of that $245, the municipal portion of that is about $108 a year. So if you think all of the operations and everything we do, taxes from the municipal side is about $108 per year. The state aid has kept that number low because of the transitional state aid. If we didn't have that aid, the $541 would actually be higher by that $300. If we didn't have the new development in town, that number would be higher, that average number would be higher. But in each case, we've been able to save the taxpayers real dollars because of the work that we've done in that space. And just the last thing is, a lot has been said about Hoffman-LaRoche. We've been talking about what happened as a result of the closure. We've also been sharing what's been happening in terms of the progress on at that site in terms of the occupation of the buildings and the elimination of some of the liabilities, such as the tax appeals have been eliminated. So we've stabilized that tax base at roughly $4.1 million today. It's less than the $10 million we were getting, but that's already been anticipated in our budget. As long as we keep the state aid, the transitional state aid, we will be able to manage our way through the next couple of years in terms of what we have to invest in terms of redeveloping that property. So that's just, I wanted to share that tonight in response to many of the questions that I get asked when people sit down and talk, and they say, gee, it would be great if you could just lay that out. So that was my attempt to do that. If it's unclear and I can do more to provide more information that's clear, I'd be happy to provide that. So with that, tonight we're going to talk about the 2019 budget increase. And while we're not going to adopt tonight, because our state aid isn't finalized, we will hold a public hearing as to where we at with the budget. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. So let's move to the public hearing on the budget. Commissioner Evans.
So tonight we have a public hearing, as I had already discussed, represents a $1.5 million increase in spending, or 3.86%. We have more work to do as a board to reduce the amount of the increase, and we're going to continue to work on that before we adopt. I have Ray Serinelli here as our outside auditors, and Ray, are you available to comment?
Ray Serinelli, municipal auditor for Nutley Township. So, you know, thinking about this process and looking back 5 years, in the fall of 2003, I was away on vacation. When I got back, I got a call from Commissioner Evans, and I hadn't read the newspaper for about 2 weeks, and he said, how come you don't have an answer for me on what we're going to do with closing the Hoffman-LaRoche? And I guess my mouth about dropped when he told me that news. You know, what was on the line there was about $187 million in assessed value was going to go away from that site, which would have caused just by itself a 5.5% increase in the tax. And that just by itself was going to be $567. So I came down and we talked to, he had already had quite a bit planned out both in his mind and I think quite a bit on paper on what the impact was going to do or what the impact might be. And, you know, putting together a strategic plan on how that was going to be handled moving forward. Now, here we are more than 5 years later, and, you know, the biggest concern was to manage and have that strategic plan work through that five-year period where Hoffman LaRoche was going to close to the point where it was going to be redeveloped without having a catastrophic effect on the taxpayers. So most of that assessed value that's going to go away has gone away, and now it's the site is now on the upside of where it was planned to go. There's a medical school operating, a couple of notable commercial enterprises, Ralph Lauren, Modern Meadow, et cetera, are starting to move in. So what could have been the tsunami of tax impact all at one point didn't take place, and it was managed through to get to a point today where, while not particularly exciting that you still have tax increases going on, the tax increases during that period were pretty much manageable. A certain amount of that was achieved by obtaining state aid. So I know Commissioner Evans had a number of meetings in, down with the Division of Local Government Services. I know other commissioners lobbied through their contacts to get that aid, and a plan was put together. And it's kind of nice to sit here and have lived through that trough and know that things are probably going to stabilize from this point going forward. Initially, I was going to just go over some of the percentages. I think one of the commissioners normally asks, you know, how does our budget look compared to everybody else? You see a lot of other budgets. The budget that's $57,500,000 is 2.3% increase in spending, which is pretty reasonable. It's right around the inflation rate. I see most budgets in that 2+% increase on spending. You know, then we look at the tax levy, which is at $42 million, and that's at 3.86%. So that's still on the high side of what I see. And I know you've had many conversations, you know, leading up to where the point where the budget was introduced. And, you know, I think the expectation is that you're trying to bring the budget back to about 2%. If you're at 2%, that's sort of the gold standard. It's around the inflation rate, and it's what the levy cap percentage is, and I think it's the goal that everyone shoots for. You've had a very conservative budget. Many things have been cut to the point where it hurts, so it's not easy to make any further cuts. So I think if you, between limited spending, and if you could get that tax rate increase down from the 3.86, that you'd be right in the norm or sort of in the average of what I see most on the municipal budgets.
Anybody want to be heard on the budget?
Willie Moore, 462 Chestnut Street. Mr. Scarpelli, I have the salaries right here, and I'm going to reference them. I have no intention of using anybody's name. I will use the titles. I find it very disquieting, actually, about the budget. I've talked to Mr. Evans, and we agreed to disagree. But I noticed that I took a lot of information here, and I went to the Board of Ed and asked them. And they have the teachers right now who have not had a salary increase, I think it's 18 months now.
their budget is 2%. They seem to be serious about getting salaries and expenses into some type of an alignment, at least have the optics for it. But what I find very disturbing, when I look at these budgets or the salaries, especially in your department, they're outrageous. They're over 100. You have 115, 100, 136,000. In the real
how
world,
how many people make 136,000?
Right. What, you, would you like the notes, guy? This
how
is
many?
Like an Oprah.
You have it. How many?
There's a lot. I'm not going to use anybody's name. There's a lot, and it's well over $100,000 in a lot of cases. When I look at Mr. Petrakos, I don't think there's anyone under $100,000. So we could say a lot of things about this is Nutley, this is a budget, but the one thing I haven't seen is anybody say shared services. A lot of other towns start, nobody wants to do it, but everybody realizes there's something that is coming. Because all of the other incidental things we see, we don't see any evidence of the Nutley Board of Commissioners with endeavors to lower the salaries. As I referenced before, is at least the Board of Ed, right or wrong, agree or disagree, they did something about it.
And you I don't think your numbers are up to date with the Board of Ed, Mr. Moore.
You could be wrong. I thought it was 2%. I know that was the cap on it. Some of it may have changed. I may have some incorrect numbers at this moment, but it's not done deliberately. And to me, I work in the private sector. I know what it's like on this side of the microphone for a taxpayer who does not get a 10% increase or makes over $130,000. A lot of times, you don't get an increase. If you do, you have to work a lot harder for it. Your pensions are cut back. A lot of times, as far as a taxpayer, it's harder to make and meet financially to live here. However, here, this is really good. Go work in a library. Go work with a police department. You don't seem to have that understanding to say, you're not practicing what you preach. I know Mr. Evans has said a number of times, we have to sharpen our pencils, but you don't see anybody sharpening their pencils. And when you look at Hoffman LaRoche, it was at 10 million, and I believe it down 4 or 5 million. So it's pretty good, considering what happened. But we have to look at what actually is going on for as far as you're concerned. Because the salaries are way too high for the private sector. They don't make. I don't make. You have laborers in here. And it's not my intention to embarrass anybody, but the average laborer is over $60,000. I called public service today to find out. Their laborers don't make $60,000. And they work a lot harder. And it's, where's the optics is, it's nice to work for this town. You make a lot of money. Everybody's family. And the taxpayers pay for it, so who really cares? That's what it looks like. And it really...
I can tell you, Mr. Moore, that the five commissioners up here care. And we all pay taxes. We all pay taxes.
I know you pay taxes. Do I think you care? I'm not sure. I'm not going to give you that
one. Thank you for your opinion, Mr. Moore.
I'm not going to give you that one yet. Because I could sit here and I could nail and I could say, look at this, look at this, look at this. But it's not my intention to embarrass anybody tonight. But it really is, and I'll conclude, I don't think you guys care one way or the other. Taxes are going to go up, going to pay. And on this side of the fence, in the private sector, it's not as easy. And you work a lot harder to do just normal living. I pay. My daughter has two boys, and I know how much money I send every week to make sure they get fed. It's a lot harder for everybody here to pay these tax increases. If you looked at the library alone, instantly you would say, let's go to shared services. Even if you eliminate half of it, because that's what other towns are doing. At least they try. You don't even see the tribe of you guys.
I'd just like to interrupt you one second and say something that I did. I think back in 2008 when Joe and I came on, when we were going through the dispatch center and we were building a new dispatch center, I want to say it cost us about $600,000 in capital. But before I did that, I did go visit Belleville. And Ray Kimball was the mayor at the time, and I said, before we go through with our police desk and spend all this money, is anybody in our area interested in combining services and share that service? I know down south in the Carolinas, Florida, they have a lot of shared services. They have dispatch centers that aren't even manned by police. It's an office somewhere, you know, off-site. But here, the opinion of some of the towns I visited was that our populations are too big. Shared services for police departments are, you know, are more feasible in, you know, the suburbial towns that have 3,000 people and the next town has 2,000 people. And I just want to say something about sharing services, especially when it comes to policing, that I've looked into, because I have to tell you, I agree with you somewhat about the salaries and that where is it going to go to? What's it going to be 10 years from now? Okay. But I could tell you when it comes to policing what I've looked into. So if we were to share services and go to a co-op, so to speak, with policing, and we did that with Belleville, maybe North Newark, Bloomfield, Clifton, you know what I've been told, Rory? That, you know what, all the towns that are busier, that have a higher crime rate than Nutley does, and again, Nutley just got that award for being one of the safest communities in the state, they would have 10 patrol cars in North Newark or Bloomfield or wherever it be. And because Nutley is a nice town and we're doing a good job here, we would wind up with one or two. So I think that we have to be very careful and strike a balance of where we want to cut, what we want to cut, and what are our priorities. And we have to be very careful of who we engage with as far as sharing services, especially in my department of public safety. Also, I just want to add, because you said that everybody in public safety makes over $100,000. That's not true, Rory, because we could go over it line by line. Because a police officer coming out of the academy makes $25,000 a year, which is kind of ridiculous. And you know what? We lose a lot of cops, good cops, because the salary is so low in Nutley. Also, when I first got elected and we negotiated and we had Bob Glasson come in here as the arbitrator, we put 8 steps in our salary guide, which I believe it was 5 when I got here. So there's been a lot of savings and a lot of preparation of what we've done here as far as, you know, when you say we're not trying or, you know, the salaries are all over 100,000, and again, I have to tell you, I agree with you somewhat. What are these salaries going to be 10 years and how do we get our arms around it? But in policing, we lose cops every day to Bergen County, to other agencies. So if we set the bar that low with our salaries in the police department, and I'll tell you, we're kind of in the middle of the county of what we pay our cops. What are we going to get? Do we want to attract the best and the brightest, especially when it comes to policing? Or do we want to compromise and have, you know, instead of a 2-minute response time, should we go to 20 minutes, like a lot of communities around here are doing? A friend of mine got in an accident on Route 3. I called the Clifton Police Department. 1 hour to get a car there for a minor accident. We don't do that here in Nutley. And I have to tell you, I mean, even with the ambulance squad, 2 minutes anywhere in the town. So to me, it's worth spending the money in that.
The only difficulty I find in what you're saying is that when you say you explored shared services, nobody explored it. You did. Maybe you looked at it. And it's just other towns. I know there's a few towns in Bergen County that went to shared service with their libraries. Is everybody happy with it? Probably not. But does it work out? Yeah, it worked out a lot better for a lot of people. But what I find disappointing, and you're a classic example, you looked into this. And it's just like...
Or if you don't get anybody to bite, what do you do? If you go to all the surrounding communities and they don't...
there is money in the state for shared services.
Yeah, but the thing is, and I can't speak for my colleagues, and I'll let them speak for themselves, when it comes to police and fire, you know, in these bigger, I mean, Nutley's are 30,000, you know, approximately 30,000. Belleville's 36,000. You know, these towns aren't so quick to say, yeah, let's do this and see how it works out and risk response time, risk how it's going to work.
But try to follow my logic if you can. I'm not trying to digress, but I came here and asked everybody to have an open meeting so people could talk about overnight parking. And you listened, and the final answer was, we're not going to change it.
I said we have no support. Right. I'm not on board with changing it, and I don't believe my commissioners
are. Wait, please.
Go ahead.
You didn't even listen. That's the problem. Nobody once heard somebody else's opinion how it affects another taxpayer. So you're telling me about shared services. I believe you did due diligence in it, but nobody tried. Nobody. Let's have a public forum. Let's ask people to come here and say, you want to have shared services with the library. It's an idea. Maybe it'll work. Maybe people won't like it. Maybe people will say, I'd rather pay higher taxes and higher salaries. Maybe they will. But at least open it up so people have an audience. People can stand here and say something about it. You don't even give them that. That's the problem. Are the bills going to go up? Sure they are. Can I look at the laborers? Can I look at some of these salaries over here? Maybe some of them are justified, but I'm in the business. I don't think they are justified because other towns made other significant methods to reduce it. Maybe it won't help a lot 2 years from now, but at least their commissioner, their form of government, tried. And that's something that you guys never did.
Mayor, can I add something here?
Sure.
All right. And Rory, as point of clarification, and believe me, I can understand your frustration, and I share it to a certain degree, all right, but some of your comments are just not correct, all right. In the Parks Department, we start a laborer out of a first step, and there are no other steps, at $25,000 a year, okay? We reduced our budget in the Parks Department last year by $485,000. We had to go through the painful experience of laying off two of our neighbors and not filling eight other positions, most of them temporary, most of them permanent, rather, three of them being temporary. This year, when we got the reduction in the medical benefits, all right, two-thirds of that reduction is reflected in what Commissioner Evans presented this evening. All right, the only reason we're holding back on that other third is because we don't know what our state aid number is. So we monitor every dollar we spend. I mean, people can look at my budget, and this year, when you look in the commissioner's office, all right, in other expenses, it went from $1,000 a year, where I usually return $500 of that $1,000, all right, to $26,000 this year. The $25,000 being for phase two of the white paper, all right, that I completed earlier this year, all right, on the effect multifamily housing is having on the town. So to stand there and to say that we don't care, or we don't get it, or we're not listening, just not true.
Labor, just not true. 75,000. Labor, 63,000. Labor, 67,000. Labor, 68,000. Labor, 30,000.
Do you want me to go down the list? I don't know what you're reading from.
The salaries.
Okay.
I open the salaries.
I know you're waving a paper, but I can tell you that in one of our neighboring towns in Milburn, they have two people that do what my park superintendent does. We went from two positions, a park superintendent and a recreation superintendent. We combined it into one position. In Milburn, there are two people who get paid $145,000 each. And I'll put our parks and rec department, all right, and the condition of our facilities up against any other town. So we are realizing economies and efficiencies, and we look at it every single day. So I don't know what you're looking at. I'd be happy to go over that with you. All right. And if you're looking at a laborer, is that laborer here 5 years, 10 years, or 25 years? All right. We've just had two more retirements.
I guess I'm missing the point. and like, yes, seniority could walk
well,
out.
Maybe they I'm not understanding what your point is, but to blatantly stand
$63,000 for a laborer.
We don't care, okay, is not true.
Yeah, so
it's just not true.
May I add?
I don't want to sit up here.
Roy, can I add?
Sure.
So there's, I think, I'm not quite sure what you're looking at, but you might be looking at what somebody was paid for a year versus what their base salary was, so it might include overtime.
No, because I'm asking a question.
So
I just want to make that distinction.
If it's fine, right? Certain base salaries of people, while we've been successful in eliminating longevity, you know, there are people here that actually still get longevity and have been here for a very long time. And as a result of that, yes, in some of the models you can see salaries rise. But when you look at that, what we are looking at for every department and we challenge is we want to spend the money that we have to spend. We want to reserve on any discretionary spending. I can tell you, you know, for example, I follow that philosophy in my department. Since 2014, my salaries in my department are down, actually down, $181,000. My budget from 14 is actually down. It's not a lower increase, but it's actually down. My other expenses are down by $180,000. So we do go through that. But to your point is, if I could look, and each of the commissioner has to look at shared services in each of their department, I think Commissioner Petracco emphasized, you know, the complexity of that. There's also statutory requirements for positions and roles that are by law required at a local level. So you must have them. So to consolidate them, for example, you know, I once looked at the fact is that could we regionalize in the county purchasing? Why does every town need purchasing staff and a purchasing agent, right? But there's no vehicle to do that anywhere. And I pursued that with the county.
Well, there is state money available. If you want to do shared services,
sure. In order to do that, you need to have a willing party. So the question was raised, could the county take over those for all the benefit of everybody to reduce those taxes? And they can't do that, right? But we did accomplish other things. The work that was done early on to shift the cost off of the taxpayers for the first aid squad. We used to have the burden of providing them with over $100,000 a year for expenses, plus purchase their ambulances. Given the billing model that they follow today, we don't have to do that. Now, the activity in town is greater than what the first aid squad can handle, all right? But Commissioner Petracco has invested in making sure that the fire folks have first responder capability, and they get a small stipend for that, but it's not the salaries of, for example, having that all integrated under a fully in a structure that requires pension and heavy health care that a state employee gets. It's a privatized business. So we have done that, and that's actually saving us quite a bit of money. We looked at health services, so we don't have a town doctor, and we've looked at
but you have work. Three nurses,
right? And we outsource the nursing services and so on.
If they're outsourced, then what? There's a salary on.
Well, it's a certain. Well, not the regular nursing service. Those are the people I think are providing a health service for vaccinations and things like that are in the town. So there are things that we're doing. But what I want to say to you is, I don't disagree with you at all that the public should continue to challenge us to find ways to reduce spending. I think it's incumbent upon all of us as commissioners to look for ways where we can find that. And if there's an opportunity to save it, we should save it, right? Because the taxpayer shouldn't have to pay for something if it's savable. Each commissioner is looking at that, right? But we do have certain things that happen each year that do result in an increase in our budget. And as I said, I don't support a 3.86% increase. I don't think any of my commissioners do either. And we're going to have to find a way to do that. We, as Mr. Serinelli alluded to, this town faced a significant challenge, regardless of shared services. If we didn't respond to the closure of the Roche site and the impact of that tax loss with additional state aid, we would have
a very different story today on what the town would be. We would not be on a top 50 list of safe cities. We would not have the services that we have today because we wouldn't be able to afford that. And while we have to continue to work on our costs, which I agree with you on, right, that I do not agree with you that we're not trying and we're not doing anything about it. We have had real progress in that. So when you, and so when I take a look and I say personally, that have I invested in that philosophy? Yeah, because if you look at my absolute budget year from 14 to 19, I'm spending less today than I was spending in 2014 because of deliberate action. An example of that was we had an outside, we had billing services that was a separate function that had two people in it. We had a cashier's function that had four people in it. Today, the water billing and the tax billing has been consolidated, and there's three people doing it in total. So we've looked at consolidating services and eliminating resources, which has enabled us to get down every commissioner. It's incumbent on every commissioner to continue to do that. And you hear about it, say it, but it's not brought all together, and that's what I was trying to do tonight, to in fact lay out what's happened over the last 5 years. But I don't disagree with your point that we have to continue.
I will conclude. It's the optics. When you see what actually goes on, it doesn't seem that way. When you start to look at the numbers, it doesn't seem that way. And when I go to work tomorrow, or anybody other citizen goes to work tomorrow, I'm sure they're not going to enjoy what happens to them. They don't get a vote in it. A lot of times over here, you say there's unions, there's contracts, that's quite right. But as far as the taxpayer is concerned, when you look at the inside, it does not appear that way. That is my concern. I have no intention of coming up here tonight to embarrass anybody, and it wasn't my intention to sit here and start a war. It is time to say to somebody, it doesn't look that way. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Anybody else want to be heard on the budget?
Michael O'Keefe, 133 High Street. I would like to second the motion of what Lloyd Moore mentioned. I think the point that he's trying to get to is that it should not cost the combined property taxes of 17 homes in this town every year to pay one public employee. I'm not going to name that guy. And that does not include the other three homes that we have to collect the property taxes from to pay for those health care benefits. And plus, we also have to take the combined property taxes of nine other homes just for us to pay into his pension plan. That's what he's trying to get at. It should not cost, someone's public sector salary in this town should not cost the combined property taxes of more than 10 homes or 7 homes every year. It's out of control. And I know you compare us to other towns, but a stand has to be made by the people in this town, in this county, in this state that do not have a town, city, or state job, that we don't get the perks. We don't get the good pension plans or the Cadillac health care benefits that we do in the private sector, that people like me who work in the private sector. But the thing is, I end up paying for it. So I think that's the point that Roy is trying to allude to. There has to be a cap on salaries, believe it or not, there has to be a cap on the salaries. Enough's enough. What's the alternative? The employers like me, who own homes in this town, who work in the private sector, which is 92% of the state, are the ones that are getting property taxed out and moving to like South Carolina, North Florida. I mean, even though they're unemployed, a lot of my clients, they really moved out of the state. They moved out of their towns, and I have to say bye to them because they can't afford the property tax anymore. And we talk about it, and we know why. Because not only were under assault of this governorship from that's in French and Murphy who's coming up with new tax proposals to be imposed on us every 2 weeks, but we got to pay for this too. There has to be salary caps on these public employees. And that's enough. No public employee in this town should be making $168 grand a year, $180 grand a year, $138 grand a year. and it doesn't matter. And I know we kind of get these salaries after, you know, maybe 6-8 years of a job, but it is enough. I don't make 130 grand a year. And trust me, that's right. I work in the private sector, and that's what I represent. That's all I want to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ogier. Anybody else want to be heard on the budget tonight? Need to close the public hearing?
Motion to close.
Second.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Mayor Scarpelli.
Aye. Commissioner, when will we anticipate adopting?
I'm hopeful that it will happen in June. I've been having ongoing conversations with the state. They're progressing well. So I hope that they won't actually let us know until it gets closer to the actual implementation of their budget. So probably June. Historically, it's June. September of last year, that was more of an aberration.
Thanks, Commissioner. Commissioner Tucci, resolutions.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Whereas on Thursday, I'm going to consolidate these. I have five resolutions congratulating the awardees of the Nutley JC's recognition awards this year. Whereas on Thursday, April 4, 2019, the Nutley JC's celebrated their 48th annual Distinguished Service Awards dinner at the Valley Regency in Clifton, New Jersey, to celebrate local Nutley residents doing what they do best, giving back to the community. Excuse me. And whereas the Nutley JCs is part of a national organization that provides opportunities for members to develop personal and leadership skills through service to others, building tomorrow's leaders through community, individual, and management development. And whereas this year's honoree for the Public Health and Safety Award was Mr. Charles Innes, the Businessman of the Year was Mr. Luther Engler, the Civic Affairs recipient was Mr. John Demmer, the Outstanding Young Man of the Year was Lou Ritacco, and the Educator of the Year was Catherine Flannery. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Board of Commissioners of the Township of Nutley, County of Essex, State of New Jersey, join with the citizens of Nutley to salute and congratulate all of the Nutley JC's awardees. I move the resolutions.
Second.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Mayor Scarpelli.
Aye. That's all I have, Mayor. Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Evans.
Yes, Mayor. I will. My first resolution is at 122-19. This relates to the law firm of Pyro Zenith Savelli in Paris for legal services for land use policies and procedures. It's a change order number four for the amount of $4,050. Funds are available in account 801-226-205 and have been certified by the Chief Financial Officer. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Board of Commissioners of the Township of Nutley, State of New Jersey, that the change order number four in the amount of $4,050 is hereby approved. So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Tucci. Commissioner Evans.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Vote. Vote.
Aye.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Mayor Scarpelli.
Aye.
My next resolution be resolved by the Board of Commissioners of the Township of Nutley, the Treasurer being she is hereby authorized to refund overpayment of property taxes in the amount of $3,492 for block 100, lot 8. So move.
Second.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Scarpelli?
Aye.
Whereas New Jersey Statute 54:4-3.6 provides that buildings used by any nonprofit corporation in connection with its curriculum, work, care, treatment, and study of men, women, and children with intellectual disabilities shall be exempt from taxation, provided such corporation conducts and maintains research or professional training facilities for the care and training of men, women, and children with intellectual disabilities. Whereas Everest Community Services is a nonprofit social services agency has filed an application for an allowance of full tax exemption and meets the criteria. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Board of Commissioners of the Township of Nutley that Everest Community Services be granted full exemption from the payment of property taxes beginning January 1, 2019, and all subsequent years thereafter on the property known as Block 502, Lot 25, 150 Kingsland Street. So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Mayor Scarpelli.
Aye.
Whereas State Statute 54 4-3.3 provides that a war veteran who was honorably discharged from active service in wartime, who meets the criteria to be 100% permanently disabled in connection with their wartime service, be granted full tax exemption of their dwelling and the lot in which it's situated. Whereas the property owner at 27 Brown Street, Daniel M. Faselli, meets this criteria and has satisfied the requirements. This is a determination that is made by the Veterans Administration, not by the township, but we have to verify it, and he has met the criteria. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Board of Commissioners of the Township of Nutley, County of Essex, that Daniel M. Fasinelli be granted a full exemption of payment of property taxes beginning February 19, 2019, and all subsequent years thereafter. So move.
Second.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Evans.
I didn't mention he's entitled to a refund of $1,160.80 for 2019. I vote aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Scarpelli?
Aye.
This is a similar, same exemption under 54:4-3.3 relating to Dennis Cedron of 50 Columbia Avenue. He's entitled to a refund of $818.10 for 2019. I move this resolution.
Second.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Scarpelli?
Aye.
Whereas Vivint Solar Development submitted and paid a solar panel permit for 29 Cortland Street in Nutley, whereas the cost of the permit fee was collected in the amount of $210, whereas the Township of Nutley received a request in writing from them for a refund of the municipal permit fee given that they did not install the solar panel, whereas the permit fee is comprised of $10 DCA fee, which cannot be refunded, and 10% plan review fee, which cannot be refunded. The remaining $180 of the permit fee is hereby refunded and approved by the Board of Commissioners. So move.
Second.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Mayor Scarpelli.
Aye.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Petracco.
Yes. Whereas seal bids for furnishing and delivering police dispatchers and crossing guard uniforms and equipment were publicly opened and read on May 23rd, 2018, and whereas turnout uniforms was the only bidder, and whereas as per the original specifications, the contract allows for 2 one-year extensions through December 31st, 2020, therefore the existing contract with turnout uniforms should be extended to December 31st, 2019, whereas the funds in the amount of $48,000 are available in appropriations entitled 9-01310-200 Police and Dispatcher Maintenance and Allowance, and the funds in the amount of $12,500 are available in appropriation entitled 9-01308200 Crossing Guards Allowance, and have been certified by the Chief Financial Officer, said certification being attached to this resolution, and now therefore be resolved by the Board of Commissioners, Township of Nutley, County of Essex, New Jersey, that a contract for furnishing and delivering police dispatching crossing guard uniforms and equipment consistent with 2019 clothing voucher allocation be and hereby awarded to Turnout Uniforms, 195 Patterson Avenue, Little Falls, New Jersey, 07424. I move the resolution.
Second.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Mayor Scarpelli.
Aye.
Be resolved by Board of Commissioners, Township of Nutley, County of Essex, New Jersey, that Township Clerk is hereby authorized to advertise for sealed bids for surplus equipment that is no longer in use by the Township. The Township equipment vehicle is listed below. Department of Public Safety, a 1999 van ambulance, mileage 8,790. The VIN number is here. Be further resolved that the minimum of offer on the above vehicle is $100. Be further resolved that the above equipment is available for inspection on Wednesday, May 15, 2019, between the hours of 8:30 and 11:30 a.m. Be further resolved that the equipment is to be sold as is and where is, and bids are to be received by Wednesday, May 22, 2019, at 11 a.m. prevailing time in the Commission Chambers, Township Hall, 1 Kennedy Drive, Nutley, New Jersey, at which time they will be publicly opened and read. I move the resolution.
Second.
Commissioner Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Scarpelli?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Whereas the law firm of Pyro Zanis, Sefeli Paris, and Jenna Temple, 360 Passaic Avenue, Nutley, New Jersey, has been awarded a non-fair and open contract of professional services pursuant to provisions of NJSA 1944A 20.4, 20.5, as appropriate to provide legal advice and services in connection with the Township's land use litigation for the Township of Nutley on February 6, 2018, by Resolution 46-18. And whereas such services have exceeded the original amount of the contract of $17,000, whereas change order number one was authorized on January 15, 2009 by resolution number 16-19 for an increase in the amount of $1,136, and such services have exceeded in the amount of the original contract and change order number one. Whereas the Mayor and Board of Commissioners have recommended the following change order from said contract. Change order number two, provide legal advice and services in connection with the Township's land use litigation and Township of Nutley in the amount of $330. Whereas funds are available from account number 801-012-205 and certified by the Chief Financial Officer, said certification be attached to this resolution. Now therefore be resolved by the Board of Commissioners, Township of Nutley, County of Essex, State of New Jersey, that change order number two in the amount of $330 be and is hereby approved and move the resolution.
Second.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Scarpelli?
Aye. Whereas raffle applications have been received from the following organization, Nutley Family Service Bureau, license number 24-19 on-premise 50-50 cash raffle, and license number 25-19 on-premise merchandise raffle, both to be held Saturday, June 8, 2019, whereas the applications have been reviewed and approved by the municipal clerk and the police department. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Commissioners, Township of Nutley, County of Essex, State of New Jersey, that the aforementioned licenses are approved and the municipal clerk is authorized to issue the raffle license and move the resolution.
Second.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Scarpelli?
Aye. That concludes the business portion of our meeting. Madam Clerk?
Thank you, Mayor. All persons addressing the Board of Commissioners regarding community concerns should approach the microphone and provide their name and address for the record. Unless further time is granted by the Board, each person shall limit their address to 3 minutes. All remarks to the Board and its individual members must be addressed to the Mayor. The Mayor may defer citizens' comments to the appropriate member of the Board. Dialogue between citizens and others addressing the Board shall be allowed unless the Mayor or presiding officer or the majority of the membership of the Board shall determine that the interests of the quorum and or the expeditious conduct of municipal business are being adversely affected by such dialogue.
Anybody wish to address the Board of Commissioners this evening?
Glenn Wallace, 106 Hopper Avenue, Nutley. With regard to the 1997 employee handbook manual that hadn't been updated for 21 years, I asked the mayor whose responsibility it was, and the question, actually I asked two if not three times whose responsibility it was. That's how many times I had to ask to get an answer. The question was referred to Mr. Genintempo, who stated the responsibility was that of Mr. Harkin. Mr. Harkin, unfortunately, passed away like 5 years ago, God rest his soul, and was not here or is not here to express himself. So my question is, can I get someone to accept the responsibility for the last 5 years?
I'll take the responsibility, Mr. Wallace, and I never blamed Mr. Harkins for anything. He's a good friend of mine and an excellent township attorney. We passed a resolution approving the new handbook. Since that time, we've seen some additional changes that we want to make. I'm making them now and hope to have them back to the commissioner shortly for reapproval. It's my responsibility. I take it 100%, and I do not agree with your statement that somehow I put this on Mr. Harkins. Mr. Harkins started it, turned it over to me, took a long time to get it done, and it's my responsibility.
Thank you. I'd like to read something. 1997 Employee Manual, page 57. Annual Update of Employee Manual. The provisions of this employment manual may be modified and or changed on an annual basis at the direction of the Township of Nutley. The Township shall designate shall designate an annual date in which modifications or changes to the employment manual will be implemented. Any and all modifications and or changes to the employment manual shall be communicated through official notice and shall be implemented in conformity with the requirements of MEL. So what I did is I opened on March 25th. Please provide me with any copy of changes, modifications, omissions, or insertions between 1997 and present. And the response was no responsive records were located. So in other words, nothing was done. So I stated that the manual reads that it will be updated annually. But Mr. Genintempo insisted at the meeting, it states it will be reviewed annually. Nowhere in that reading that I just made did I hear the word review. I heard update. Okay, so this has not been updated. There's been nothing, no changes whatsoever made in 21 years. That statement was either ignorant or deceitful. Ignorant if someone had made, had knowledge of the manual and make that statement, or deceitful if one had knowledge and did make that statement. You be the judge. So my question is, what can we do to prevent another 21 years of an unupdated manual? That's my first question. My second one is, have all our employees in town received this new updated manual?
Want to answer that, Mr. Genintempo?
Sure. First of all, I drafted the 1997 handbook when I was doing the work for the JIF. I was an attached attorney at the time. And every year that I've been involved, in the last few, we do review it. That manual still is valid and enforceable. We are reviewing it again. I'm going to have it ready. I can't speak for what's going to happen in the future, but we do look at it every year. And Mr. Wallace, you can say what you want about being deceitful. You're completely wrong. And I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wallace. Anybody else wish to address the Board of Commissioners this evening? Seeing none, can I
Mayor, I'd like to sure. make one comment. And again, just by way of clarification, during Commissioner Evans' presentation, I pointed out the finances of the Water Department and the fact that I thought they should be included with the DPW, but it was done entirely correct. All right, because the water utility is a separate utility. But I don't want anyone to think for one moment that I was taking a shot at the DPW or the Water Department. All right, I just merely wanted to clarify, all right, in that presentation what the overall impact was. All right, because the mayor is not only my friend, but someone that I respect and someone that I admire very much. So, Mayor, I just wanted to clarify that for everyone that's here and anyone that may be watching.
Thank you, Commissioner. Anybody, what do we have to do? We have to continue the meeting? We need a motion for that?
Yes.
Mr. Genintempo, can I have a motion to continue the meeting till Friday?
At 11 a.m.
11 a.m.
11 a.m. Okay.
So moved.
So moved.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Evans?
Yes, that's Friday, May 10th, right?
Friday, May 10th.
Yes.
Aye. Yes, aye.
My daughter's birthday.
Mayor Scarpelli?
Aye. And good night, everybody.
The time is 9:53.